Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Morning on Breadbox Media, and good morning. It is Monday after I had a very long weekend. I went to the March for Life in D.C. this weekend. First time I've ever done that. My church goes every year. My husband and my sons have both gone. And I just, I'm not a crowd person. So I've always kind of just not gone. But this time my good friend was going and she asked, and I just kept trying to find excuses. And every time I tried to find excuse, the Lord really nudged me that I was supposed to be there. See, the funny thing with trusting God is that you have to have opportunities to trust Him in order to actually learn either how to trust Him or to recognize that you already do trust Him. Trust is really, really hard for me. I struggle with that. I really do. I want to control everything. I don't want to suffer. I don't want any afflictions. I don't want, I just want smooth sailing, right? I guess probably everybody wants that. And I get really, that's where my anxiety really flares up. That's where my anxiety lives, is in that place of fear that something bad would happen. And when I went to World Youth Day back in 2013, we were on the beach of Copacabana Beach in Rio de Janeiro, and it was at the end of the opening mass, and we were real. It was just a million people. Like, it was crazy. I signed up for World Youth Day because we had a German Pope, and they said it was going to be the smallest attendance in history. So I was like, hey, I can handle that. That's cool. Smallest attendance, few people, few million. I'm good. Few hundred thousand. Well, in the meantime, we elected an Argentinian priest, Pope, and it was the largest, one of the largest turnouts in history. I doubt they overcame John Paul II's turnouts, but it was pretty crazy. So at the end of the opening mass, like 1 million people are trying to get off the beach and get to the subways, and it was just chaos. And when I say we were nearly crushed to death, I'm not being dramatic, though I know I tend to dramaticness this time. It was scary. I've never been so scared in home my whole life. So 4 years later, I still have this crowd anxiety, very much have this crowd anxiety. And So going to March for Life, and again, being in crowds wasn't easy, but I was told erroneously that they never go to the rally. They're never in the big crowds. They join the march halfway through, yada, yada, yada. That's not what happened. Not what happened at all. Not only did we end up in the midst of the largest crowds, which it was wonderful. It was wonderful that 650,000 people came out to stand for life, you know, to defend those who have no way of defending themselves. I know that, like, the world's going protest crazy right now. And I feel like the world is, I mean, America has lost its mind. I really do. It's frightening. It's created even more anxiety. But when it comes to marching for life from the natural conception to its natural death. I'm not sure that's how you say that, but you know what I mean? From, you know, letting God be in control of birth and death, and really just trusting Him. And I know that it's hard. I know if you're a single mom or there's a health issue, I know all of that is scary, and trusting in Him and the plan is even harder. But not allowing them a chance at life is, I can't fathom pro-choice, even though at one point in my life, I know I was the person who said I would never do it myself, but they, you know, I would never tell somebody not to. And now I cringe at the fact that I said those words, and I cringe at the fact that, you know, I even for once didn't think of that child as a baby. The DNA of that fetus is not the mother nor the father. It's its own unique DNA. How could that not be a life? So not to be able to go and march for that, it's, I was grateful. I don't know, I'll go again, but I was grateful for that opportunity. And as my husband said, you know, the other kinds of protests probably would never join into, because those voices, those are grownups. They can voice it themselves. I'm not really somebody to protest anything. I'm not controversial. I'm sure you've noticed that after listening for a while. I don't go into subjects that are controversial. I just focus on Christ, prayer, sacrament, and scripture. But this one is a little different, because this is people who can't defend themselves. And because my parish, my pastor is so pro-life, so proactive in being pro-life, and just hearing about this trip for so many years, I'm really grateful that I was brave and went. But I got to tell you, standing in the midst of this huge crowd pushed in against me with no place to go, I started to feel the panic arising in my heart. Fast, my heartbeat was starting to quicken. My breath was getting shallow. I was starting to break out in sweat, even though it was 30 degrees outside. And in that moment, I started to think about God and how faithful He is to bring me comfort when I ask. And He usually sends me a butterfly. He's been doing that since I started to adopt Faithy back in 2007 or 8-ish, but a long time, almost 10 years now of the Lord sending me butterflies to bring me comfort, to bring me just to put a physicalness on His invisibleness. And as I'm standing there and I can feel this anxiety attack just on the brink of happening, I started to look around for butterflies. I'm like, Lord, I just need one little glimpse just to help me, because I just need to know everything's going to be okay. You know, like I said, the world's going crazy. You don't know if a truck's going to come through the crowd. You don't know if people are going to panic and start running and pushing. Someone's going to start shooting at us. Honestly, this is how my brain works. I know. I am anxiety girl. I am able to leap to the worst conclusion in a single bound. Like, I probably should have a cape. This is how my brain works. I worry about everything, and I just always have a fatalistic, like, something bad is coming down. And just as I'm praying this, the guy behind me, who I did not know, wasn't with my group, out of absolutely nowhere says, "Hey, that looks like a butterfly wing." It was crazy. Like, I got choked up. I was so moved that the Lord, in the midst of all of those 650,000 people, all probably praying and calling upon Him for safety and for the, and praying for, you know, mercy and help with the, for the cause, and to send down His grace and blessing upon our march. And He hears me. He heard my cry for help, and He rescues me. It's one of the Psalms. You know, you read the Psalms. You're not always sure you're going to actually see them at work. But there it was. I prayed, and He rescued me in my distress. All I had to do was hear the word butterfly, and this absolute calm came over my body. Such a good and gracious God. And the bus driver was a tad bit scary. Yep, he shouldn't be driving. He's on the phone. Yep, he's on the phone. He was in and out of traffic. We almost had a head-on collision. But again, God is good, and God is faithful, and here I am to talk with you again. I'm also today dog sitting. So if you, he's just new to the house, only here for a week. And I really thought, as I just said on Facebook Live over on Reconciled to You on Facebook, I just did a little quick Facebook Live before the show. I really, really thought I wanted a dog. And this dog, he's a Bichon Poo, is the cutest little thing on the planet. His name is Mikey, and we adore him. And I thought for sure having him for this long, because we've never had a dog for a whole week, and he's so well behaved, that we would leave this this experience like totally ready to go out and find ourselves the Bichon Poo. And let's see, so far we've experienced poo in the house, puke in the house, being woken up in the middle of the night by the dog, startled awake by his barking, We've had ticks. I pulled, okay, it's January in New England, and we went for a walk in the woods. I pulled three ticks off of him, two kind of successfully, this third one not so successfully. So I'm kind of stressing about that, feeling terrible about not doing that properly, kind of a little moment of panic. Then I'm like itchy from head to toe. Wonder, do you do that? Like when you see a bug or someone starts talking about something, do you just like become itchy? Like I can't, I have eczema anyway, so I know it's the eczema, but I'm just ridiculously out of control today. Just a mess, just a total hot mess. One really, really cool thing that happened, though, on my hot mess trip. You know, my obsession with squirrels, which is really my obsession. My friend Lori started this obsession because I have ADHD and I really do have the attention span of a squirrel. If you ever try to talk to me in person, you can tell. I try so hard to focus on you and what you're saying, but every once in a while, okay, more than often, something will grab my attention and I'm like, I'm gone. Like, I either walk away or I look away or I just go, huh, what'd you just say? So she started with the joke, the squirrel. If you ever seen the movie Up, there's a little movie clip where the dog is trying really hard to pay attention and then he sees a squirrel and he runs off. That's me, squirrel girl. So she started posting squirrels on my Facebook. It got a lot of attention. I found it hysterically funny. So I just kind of rolled with it and it's kind of taken on a life of its own now. I think four or five years later, it was still squirrel girl. Anyways, at St. Matthew's Cathedral on Saturday morning for the Mass before we left D.C. to come back here, and I look up, and in the mural over the altar is a squirrel. Seriously, there's an angel, and it's kicking a squirrel. It's not really kicking a squirrel. It's at its feet. And a friend of mine looked up, what does the squirrel symbolize? And it symbolized in this, as it was part of the coat of arms of this Monsignor who helped build St. Matthew's Cathedral, and it was the symbol of strength and faithfulness. And don't you think that that didn't crack me up? Because, you know, me and the fidelity truck, faithfulness, fidelity is a huge word for me. A couple of years ago, it was the word of the year. And here it is, squirrel, strength and faithfulness. Pretty good. We come back, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, sharing in the first segment about my trip to D.C. this weekend for the March for Life. And you know, during a lot of the trip, the Lord just spoke to me in such sweet and gentle ways. I love that he sent me that butterfly to remind me to stay, to know that he's near and to stay faithful and let his grace just wash upon me. Like, we can't control the outcome of life. Like, we all die and we really can't stop that from happening. And we don't know the time or the place, which is kind of annoying a little bit, though I do pray for him all the time not to let me in on the secret. I don't want to know. I have like a little deal with him and I hope he'll hold me. He'll hold to it that if for some reason I'm ever going to contract a terminal illness, to please keep it from me and just send a bus to knock me down. Like, I know that sounds horrible, but I'm just not one, believe it or not, I'm not one for the center of attention. I don't want to deal with the sadness of that. I don't want the whole idea just overwhelms me and makes me even more anxious than I normally am. So so much of this trip was just thinking about, you know, that you go away, you're on the road, bad things happen. Like I said, the world this weekend was insane and it was really anxiety inducing, especially if you're in the nation's capital during all of this, and just trying to figure out where God is at and why is he abandoning us? And he's like, I don't abandon you. It's the words, his word says, I do not forsake and do not forsake nor abandon you. And to really be able to embrace his word and not to ignore those God-sidences to let you know that he is there. Like, those are the comforts that I need. That's the hope that I have in him. And, you know, talk about today's show, I was like, well, what should I talk about? You know, I realized that I was supposed to be on Thursday, but preparing for the trip became a little more overwhelming than I expected it to. And I had some deadlines, some writing deadlines and things. So we just, I was supposed to talk about 2 Corinthians. So here we are today getting back to it. And I thought it was God's perfect timing, you know, that we take off that time. And then I have this experience on the weekend, really, just a couple of really crazy things. For instance, I'm not really sure even how to explain this, but I feel like I want to tell you about it. Maybe you can help me discern what God is trying to tell me. So you know how God sends me trucks? He sends me the Fidelity truck, the God Keeps His Promises truck, or Helping the World Keeps Promises, but I know it's God. The Flowers Floors truck for St. Therese now and then. Even when I went on retreat and we had a surge back up, leading up to that, I kept seeing we call it the pooper sucker truck, the sores truck, like all of these crazy trucks. Okay, so here's what's happening lately. Lately, I've been getting trucks with the world on it, with green and blue, and like those colors keep coming up and the world keeps coming up. And when I went a few years ago to a conference just to help out at a table with a local radio station, we were at this, it was a charismatic conference. And in the room across from our table, they were doing prophetic readings. And you know, at first I was like, this is hocusy pocus. We're not allowed to go to mediums. We're not allowed to talk to psychics. We're not even allowed to read our horoscopes. Like that's all the devil kind of messing with our free will. It's opening doors to the demons we don't want. Like none of that is good. So here we are at this conference and there are these things called prophetic readings. I'm like, oh, this can't be good. So I was very skeptical about it. And suddenly I got this inspiration and I felt the spirit say to me, they're going to get an opening and she's going to come over and give it to you. And I want you to go in. Now she'd been turning people away by the droves because they only had so many spaces. And I figured I'm like, all right, that was a weird thought. And I'm not going to give it any attention. A few minutes later, she comes over to me and she says, I just got a cancellation. I really feel like the Lord wants you to have it. Yeah, this stuff happens to me all the time, by the way. It's kind of freaky, but I think it's awesome. And I'm very open to it. Maybe that's why it happens, because I just have an openness that the Lord does move in with my heart and in my soul. And if he wants me to think something and then it happens, and if he tells me something in my heart and then it happens a second later, I don't tend to ignore that stuff. I'm cautious, going to be cautious, but I don't ignore it. So I said, okay, the spirit just told me that. So I guess I'll get in line. And as I'm standing there, I'm still having these doubts. I'm thinking, this is stupid. Like, this is hocusy pocus. I shouldn't be in this line. I don't have time to call my spiritual director and make sure it's okay. As I'm thinking this, she comes up and she looks me in the eye and she said, the Lord wants you to know he'd never lead you to some place that would be bad for you. I was like, okay, again, weird. But truly, he's talking to me. Long story short, I go in, it's a table with 3 women at it. One of them is Maria Vidella, who was the keynote speaker for that conference. She is a huge charismatic out in Florida, down in Florida from where I am. And I had heard her a few years ago at the women's conference in Boston, and just really a powerful witness, huge conversion. And the Holy Spirit just seems to totally be on fire inside of her. So what happens at these? And it is the Holy Spirit. And just to let you know that I did, when I got back, talk to both a priest and my spiritual director, who's a deacon. And I read some different church teachings about it. And yes, it is the prophetic reading is a charism of the church. It is to encourage you in your life in the church. It's not fortune telling. It's just an encouragement. And so I sit down. And Maria, and this was 3 women. I don't think I even said my name. They just start to talk. They don't know who I am at all. And I just started ministry back then. But she wouldn't have known that. None of them would have known I was in ministry. As far as they knew, I was working for the radio station. And even if they had seen me, and I'm not even sure they even noticed me over there. So they start to prophesize. You know, they start to pray. They pray in tongues. And it was a little freaky at first. But when the message was finished, I sat there in a puddle of crying, of tears, because it was just so overwhelmingly affirming and encouraging. And she knew I was called to ministry. And the really cool thing is that I've always been covered and surrounded by books. And she said, I see you surrounded by books. And, you know, you're trying to decide what you should read and what you should be teaching, because the Lord has anointed you as a great teacher. She's like, and she takes her Bible and she just slams it on the table in front of me. And she's like, God wants you in this book. He wants you in this book, in the Bible, in His Word, in Scripture. He wants you sharing the Scriptures. And she said, He's anointed you again as a great teacher, and His sphere will be your sphere. And it's a big round table. And she's taking her hands and she's making circular motions across the table. She's like, He's sending you out. And I'm like, I don't really want to go out. Remember that anxiety I just spoke about? You know, I didn't even fly in an airplane until I was about 35 years old. And I didn't fly on my own until I was 45 years old. Not really a big adventurer. So I get this message, 10 years ago. And then just recently, I keep getting these trucks with the whorls on them. And then this weekend, I'm in Washington, and we're in the Basilica. Yes, the Immaculate Conception National Basilica. It's huge. It's the biggest one, I think, in North America. It's just beautiful. Each chapel, it has side chapels, and each one is dedicated to the name of Our Lady in some way or shape. There's like Our Lady of Częstochowa, Our Doer of Knots, Our Lady of Grace, Our Lady of Immaculate Conception, of course. All these different names Our Lady is known of throughout the world, and you know, the one Stella Maris, like the things that we know. And then there's other saints. Like I found my Saint Louise. That's my patron saint. My middle name is Louise. My confirmation name is Louise. I tried to take a selfie. Wasn't very successful. I'll try to post it over on a Seeking Heart later, just to give you a giggle. But then I walk into this room with a giant mural on the wall, and Our Lady is holding a globe. And up until that point, I had just been praying for the Lord. Like, I felt like there was a message there. And I know maybe I seek too hard for messages. I'm always looking for signs and wonders. Jesus really warns us to be careful in the Scriptures, to look too hard for signs and wonders, but just to believe. But sometimes you just get those stirrings in your heart and in your soul, and you're like, all right, Lord, I feel like you're trying to tell me something. And that very next room, I see this room with the globe, and I'm instantly remembered, because I just found the paper just before I left, because when you're in the prophetic reading, you just write notes down. You could have had recorded it, and I wish I had, but instead I had just written down notes. So I just found that, and I had just read that before I went, and here I am in this room. I take a picture of the mural, which I want to study later. And then on the wall, I learned that it's the Our Lady of Missions. And you know, Ben, again, being sent out, His sphere will be your sphere. And I don't know. I pray like it's some kind of like ethereal kind of sending out. Like the internet is everywhere, right? Like social media evangelists. I'm not sure I'm really up to being a traveling evangelist. I know my husband's not up for me to be a traveling evangelist. I don't know. You know, I'm still kind of young at this, still kind of new. And who knows? It could, you know, the radio, this is a national, international radio station, Breadbox Media. By the way, go to breadboxmedia.com and get the Breadbox Media app. If you haven't yet, help us share the Breadbox Media app by going to Breadbox Media and sending out tweets and Facebook pages with the hashtag #GetBreadBox. We really appreciate your help with that. So that's my story for today, for the prophetic reading, for the truck of the day, the blues and the greens and the world. I don't know. Think about it. Pray about it. Help me discern. You know, maybe the Lord will use you to enlighten me and help me see what the Lord might be trying to tell me. You know, you can always count on me for the same. If you had a prayer request, Allison@BreadboxMedia.com. You're listening to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. How do you listen to the Breadbox Media Network radio station? Do you listen on your app? Get to Breadbox. Go to breadboxmedia.com and download the app. Share it with your friends. Do you live stream? If you are, try the app. You might really like it. You can take us wherever you go. And if you have any have questions or comments, concerns, you can always reach us at seekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. If you have any prayer requests, I will be going to adoration a couple times this week. Praise the Lord. And I'd be happy to take your requests with me. I'm always happy to do that. So now we're going to spend the rest of the show looking at 2 Corinthians tonight at Bible Study Holy Family Church in East Taunton, if you happen to be local to that church. We have it every Monday night, 6:30 for the rosary, 7 o'clock, and the rosary is optional, and 7 o'clock for Bible study. And our Bible study is really fun. We really, honestly, we just open up the Bible. We don't like randomly do it. We kind of going through all the letters of St. Paul right now. And we cover three chapters, like that's the word, yes it is, a Monday. We're there for an hour and a half. We read it. We talk about how it's touched our hearts and what we feel like the Lord's saying to us. And it's really nice just to share the Word of God with others. If you're somebody who's interested in starting your own Bible study and you're not really sure how, you can, again, always, you can even give me a call if you want, 508-243-1133. That's my own business number, 508-243-1133, if you need help figuring out how to start your own Bible study. Or perhaps you want to start a book club. Coming up this Lent, I'm going to be running the Walk in Her Sandals, Women in a New Evangelization, or WINE, as it's known, online Lenten book club for Walk in Her Sandals. I'm really excited about that, but working on that this weekend on the bus because we were watching stupid movies. I hate movies. I know. I don't know why I hate movies so much, but I do. So, yeah, sorry, it gave me an opportunity to work instead. All right, what stupid movies did we watch? They watched Iron Man. They watched Les Mis, which was great. It was just too long. I mean, it wasn't great. It was okay. I love the redemptive story in it. I totally get that. You can't ever go wrong watching Hugh Jackman doing anything. Let's be honest. Very cute. Russell Crowe didn't know he could sing. That was pretty impressive. Again, the story, a little depressing. If you're having anxiety, the last thing you want to watch is this kind of rolling movie of badness happening. Here you go. Les Mis. Like, you want to watch misery when you're fighting anxiety. And then we watched God's Not Dead 2, which I really complained about. But in the end, the Lord spoke to me during that, too. I just started teaching a Christ in a historic way and talking about, starting at that point as him as a historic figure. And there, this whole movie was about, making the case for Christ as a historic figure. So that was pretty cool. But as generally, I don't like movies. And so I spent the week, the trip getting ready for Walk in Her Sandals. So anyway, the whole point of that is if Lent's coming, it's just a few weeks away. If you're looking for a book club to start, maybe you're not comfortable diving right into the scriptures, maybe you'd like to do a book club. Walk in Her Sandals is great stuff. Go to reconciledtoyou.com and click on CWBN Blog Hop. And there you'll find, if you scroll down just a tiny bit, tons and tons of reviews of Walk in Her Sandals to see if it's the right book for you. Again, you can email me, Allison@breadboxmedia.com or info@reconciledtoyou.com, and I can answer any questions and help you get that set up. I just love the scriptures. I can't imagine, truly can't imagine my life without God speaking to me through his word, because as an anxiety-ridden person, it's easy for me to forget my way when I don't see God and I have to see him in situations. I have to see him in words. I think that's why I see him in trucks and I see him in what people say. And I see them, people saying butterfly wings and trucks going by, because I need a tangible God. It's why we have the sacraments, because it makes that grace of God tangible. We can, you know, hear the words. We can absolution, or the, you know, feel the water of baptism, receive the host on our tongue, or the precious blood, you know, the wine on our lips. Like, we can feel and we can smell that. I love the smells and bells of Catholicism. That's just how I roll. And the words, they help make God more real to my heart, because when I read them, they feel like a love letter. They feel like I see and feel him talking right to me. And in 2 Corinthians 2, which is where we kind of left off, he talks in here about forgiveness of the offender. And, you know, my whole ministry was launched Reconciled to You was about forgiveness. And first I thought it was about how we forgive others. But then the Lord reminded me that sometimes we need to be forgiven. Favorite line, Thomas A. Kempis, you know what I'm going to say. He wrote Imitation of Christ. And my favorite line is where he writes, "Remember, when you're putting up with somebody, somebody else is putting up with you." That's going to be a big part of my confession tonight, just saying. Been really cranky with the world, and I need to move on. It's time to let it all go and just focus on Christ. And it's hard. It's really hard to do that. But it's that whole forgiveness. The mercy you've been shown, you must show others. And I love this, but I'm really moved. Yeah. Let's use the thesaurus a little bit today. I'm really moved by this line in 2 Corinthians 2:11, where St. Paul writes, "To keep Satan from gaining the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant to his designs." And his whole design is to separate us from God. Before that says, "What I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, to keep Satan from gaining the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his designs." And the design of Satan is to separate us from Christ. Separate us from each other, to separate us ultimately from God. And we don't want him to have that power. We want to nip that in the bud. And we do that by living in God's grace through prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And, you know, when we start to have like that sinning snowball, I can feel myself getting further and further away from God. It's like I'm in that rolling sinning snowball, and it's rolling me further and further down the mountain away from God, and collecting with it more shame and guilt and animosity and bitterness and anger. And I just really need to, tonight I'm going before Bible study. I don't care if I'm late to Bible study. I know I'm running it, but I don't care. I am going to confession. I wanted to go all weekend, and we went to the Verizon Center for the rally before the March for Life walk. And they had to move everything up. And by the time we got there, confessions were over. And that was really disappointment, because I've been told all week, confessions are great at the Verizon Center. You'll be so happy. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't get to confession. And maybe I could have gone to my pastor, which ironically, I'm going to end up going to him anyway during the weekend. But it's good. I'm going to go. I'm going to give it to him. It's going to help restore our relationship, reconcile myself to God, reconcile myself to the church, and help me to be a better person overall. So this whole forgiveness of the offender also helps us to be open to God to move within us. If we don't forgive somebody else, then our heart stays hardened. And I know that doesn't seem like it makes sense. Well, they hurt me. They did this. They did that. Like, how can I open up my heart to them? And why can't, you know, if I can be mad at them, but I still love God, God didn't hurt me. But that's not how it works. God tells us, like, our hearts, if it's hardened to one, it's hardened to all. Christ tells us he is the head of the body, and we are the rest of the body, the parts, the eyes, the nose, the kidneys. We're all at work here together. And if one of us hurts, the other one hurts. If we harden to one, then we've hardened to all of it. Mystical and mystery, but yet not impossible for us to understand. I mean, bottom line, you must forgive in order to be forgiven, because your heart isn't open to God's love and grace and forgiveness if it's holding a grudge or bitterness toward another. And so we are called to forgive. And when we do, our heart is enlarged and the grace just pours in from God, and we have that ability to forgive others. When we step out to try, you can't do it on your own. You need God's grace. And the greatest way to keep filling that grace well is to keep spending time in prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And that sacrament of reconciliation is such a gift from God to kind of give us that kickstart if we need it to forgive somebody or to let go. And it's really something I'm going to take advantage of tonight. And I pray that you do very shortly if there's something that you're holding against somebody and you need to be let free. And, you know, the very next paragraph, the title of it is Paul's Anxiety in Troas. And it's interesting to see that he was anxious as well. In fact, there's a place in here where he talks about the thorn in his side, and it's kind of left ambiguous. You don't really know what it is that Paul struggles with, and I'm pretty convinced it's anxiety, but that might be me projecting on him. And then he writes here in 2 Corinthians, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other fragrance life from life. Who is sufficient for these things?" And he ends by saying, "For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." So this message isn't from me. This message isn't me peddling God's word, but me being an ambassador for Christ, which you'll see a little bit later in this chapter if you keep reading. 2 Corinthians 5:20. It's the whole place that I got Reconciled to You Ministries from. So being ambassadors for Christ, imploring, begging others to be reconciled to God. We have another segment left after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. If you haven't already started to listen to Breadbox Media on the app, go to breadboxmedia.com and get the app today. While you're there, also check out Friend of the Show. It's a way to support me in my work here at Breadbox Media on this show. The money goes just to me, not to the station, just to me to keep us on the air, to keep me on the air. And I'm always grateful for your support. I thank all my friends of the show so far. Know that you are in my prayers daily. And those who have become friends of the show have also received either a prayer squirrel or a rosary bracelet that I hand make with my friend Lori, the one that started the squirrel craze. You also get extra entries in every giveaway. And yes, there's one coming. I know I've been a little lax, but lots of stuff going on around here. But there's a giveaway coming, a big one. Whenever I get delayed in getting those giveaways out, they get bigger and bigger when they actually happen. And something that keeps getting pushed to the side, but I promise you this is gonna happen, is a Google Hangout. We've had some technical difficulties with it, but we're gonna make this one happen. It's really fun just to see your face and to talk with you. And I know that, you know, sometimes the internet doesn't agree to cooperate, but let's get that on the books. Let's get that Google Hangout happening. And just know, again, that you're in every rosary I do. You're in my prayers constantly. And I'm just so incredibly grateful to the friends of the show here on Breadbox Media. I mean, Secret Heart. Go to breadboxmedia.com. You can click on A Seeking Heart, and I have a little piece there that explains to you about becoming a friend of this show. And then you can click the link to actually make the donation. So, again, thank you for considering that. I'm just very grateful for those who've already stepped forward and become friends of the show. So, so very grateful. We're talking today about a bunch of stuff. How's that for just technical? We talked about my March for Life. We talked about prophetic readings. We've talked about butterflies and squirrels and trucks. So check, check, check on all those things that Allison spends most of her days looking at, or looking for, I should say, and just to find God in the visibleness and the tangibleness. And now I'm going to skip over to 2 Corinthians 4, because this is about not losing hope. And it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's actually the end of 3. I just love that. You've probably heard that. If you listen to any Christian music, you've heard that, and it's a lyric in a couple of songs. The Spirit of the Lord is freedom, and we're being transformed from glory to glory. Isn't that beautiful? You know, the closer we get to Christ, the more time we spend in His Word and prayer and getting to know Him, receiving the Eucharist, spending time in adoration, going to a confession like I will be this evening. Then he goes on, St. Paul does, and 4, therefore have this ministry by the mercy of God. We do not lose heart. I have that circled in my Bible. I read all over my Bible. I tried to do a Facebook Live where I showed you that I would write all over my Bible and to share a few of the things I'd be talking about, and I ended up dropping my Bible. I read the Dedicate Bible from Ignatius Press. Love this Bible. All the commentaries link over to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which gives you kind of this great foundation of faith. So we do not lose heart. Like, how easy is it to lose heart when we're filled with anxiety, when we see the world going crazy, when we're not sure what the Lord is calling us to do or who we're called to be, that we know that we don't get out of this place alive, and so much can give us anxiety and keep us from the peace that Christ said He came to give. But St. Paul reminds us, you're being transformed from glory to glory, and do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways, to refuse the practice of cunning or tampering with God's word, but to be open to the statement of truth that we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, just to listen to His word and to be open to what God is saying to us. That is incredible. He says, St. Paul expounded upon the authenticity and sincerity of his mission. We do not lose heart, despite hardships, it says. This is the commentary. Paul kept fulfilling his mission as apostle with the help of grace. Jesus Christ, Lord, He is, when we say that He is Lord, we are professing His divinity. We are saying that He is 100% God. He's 100% man. He is the Son of God. He is our Savior, our Messiah. He is so many things. And to renounce all of those things that keep us from following Him, and to do that out loud, I talked about that on a show a few weeks ago, like renounce the spirit. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of fear, or the spirit of fear, I renounce in the name of Jesus, or I renounce the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. However you want to say it, just say it, and say it out loud. Let the demon know that it has no control over you, that you are a child of God, and God's grace is in you, within you. A few weeks ago, I was in Mass, and I was a grumpy, grumpy girl. Like, I love my daughter, and I love signing for her, but sometimes it's Sunday morning, I'm tired, my eczema on my hands has been incredibly painful, and I just want to go to Mass and kneel and just be. But I know I made a promise to God. I owe it to her to sign for her, and I was just grumpy, and people were annoying me. And again, when putting up with people putting up with me, I get it. And I was kneeling before Mass, because I get that prayer time before Mass. We got there a little late. I didn't think I was going to get any prayer time. And I just prayed for the Lord to pour His grace into my heart. Like, I really just wanted that grace to be in me, to fill me, to move me and change me. And I felt this great peace just take over my heart, and my hand stopped hurting, and I felt delight and joy in being able to sign for Faith and to bring the Mass to her in such a beautiful way. Like, what a gift from God to give me this language and to allow me just enough understanding of it to interpret the Mass for her. Like, do not lose hope, do not lose heart. The show is called A Seeking Heart, because we know that we encounter God in our mind, but most especially through our heart. It's our heart that seeks Him. It is empty until it rests in Him. It's give a God-sized hole in our heart. And as St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. And Sometimes I just need to sit with God's word to remember the hope that I have in him, these words, living by faith, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed every day, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. One of the great books by C.S. Lewis, by the way, is called Eternal Weight of Glory. If you ever get a chance, I highly recommend it. St. Paul goes on, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. You know, I'm telling you that I need to see these seen things to feel the unseen. But St. Paul's reminding me that that's not where the true blessing and faith and hope come in. It's the true faith comes in and believing what I don't see. We walk by faith and not by sight. St. Paul reminds us, we look not to the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Wow, right? The things that are unseen are eternal. And yes, it feels sometimes like there's this giant veil and you can't see it, but I'm telling you, it's thin and God is there. And you just need to ask him to make himself known to you. He's not going to hide. He loves you to pieces. If you want him to be near, he will be near. And you know, I was that movie, God's Not Dead 2, they use a line in there that I've heard many times, but I'd kind of forgotten. And, you know, she's going through this great trial, both literally and figuratively. And she says to her grandpa, I feel like God is just quiet. Like, why is he not? I don't feel him. I don't understand why he's not helping me right now in this great trial, this great test. And she's a teacher. And her grandfather looks at her and says, you of all people, a teacher, should know that the teacher is the quietest during the test. And I love that analogy. You know, during a test, your teacher doesn't sit with you and give you the answer. Your teacher sits quietly and sees what you've learned and gives you an opportunity to use the skills and the knowledge that have been given to you. And it is in using those that you are strengthened. It's when you grab, you realize that you do know more than you thought, that you have that opportunity to practice what's been preached. And it is such an amazing gift. It don't feel like it when it's happening at all. And I pray all the time to avoid the tests and the trials and the suffering. But the Lord promises he'll never forsake nor abandon you, and that he gives you this opportunity to walk by faith and not by sight. Do not lose heart. Know that he's with you always. And in those tests, know that he is still nearby. He never leaves you, but that he's given you this opportunity to know your faith better, to know him better, and to prepare yourself for the eternal weight of glory. It is not this world for which we live, but for the world to come. We have sometimes feel like we have no idea what comes after here, but if we really allow ourselves to listen to the saints, to let our guardian angel speak to our hearts, and to spend time in prayer, God's going to give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. He's going to give you an understanding that you maybe doesn't have words, but it'll have something in your heart and your soul that's really truly a peace beyond understanding. I hope that you have enjoyed today's show. If you missed any part of it, go over to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. That's podbean.com. And you can catch this and every other of the Seeking Heart shows. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.